So quick to choose the path walked by the righteous, so you can go and nest among the weak. The innocent observers will refuse to find the lie within. Renew the disappointment of the meek.
Chapter 15. Peter wakes up to an ache in his chest that sends shooting pain all the way into the tips of his fingers every time he takes a breath. For a few moments, he confusedly wonders if he's in hell before realizing that no, he's at the den. The pillow smells like Laura and, to a lesser extent, Jordan. He can also smell Styles and turns his head to one side to see Styles asleep beside him and Derek asleep on the other side of him. He tries to sit up to check Styles over and instantly regrets it. The wheezing noise he makes wakes Styles, who bolts upright. "Why are you sitting up?" he demands, and Peter lets Styles push him back down onto the pillows. "You were shot in the chest at point-blank range with a wolfsbane bullet that Chris then had to dig out of you with a knife, leaving behind a hole that he had to set on fire. Lie down." "I'm already lying down," Peter says, although his voice is strained and he can't deny it. Derek's woken at this, hair flattened on one side and sticking up on the other, looking only half awake. But his nephew reaches out and snags his hand. The pain starts to drain away. "Oh, Christ," Peter says, eyes sagging shut. "Thanks." "Yeah," Derek says. Peter feels like he's slipping back into unconsciousness, the pain floating away and taking him with it. He shakes himself and says, "Kate?"
"Dead. Very dead. Double tap to the head. D-E-A-D. Dead."
"That's my boy," Peter mumbles, and he sees a smile twitch at Styles' lips. "You're hurt."
"Yeah, got shot in the hand. Fucking Gerard. But he's arrested now. And apparently Kate was killed resisting arrest."
He makes air quotes with his good hand.
"So we don't have anything to worry about right now."
"Arrested, Peter manages, struggling to stay awake.
"Yeah, for murdering that woman whose body he used in place of Kate's."
Styles gives him a look and says,
"Just go back to sleep, Peter. Everything's okay."
Peter manages a nod and he's unconscious moments later. When he wakes up again, it's to the smell of food. The bed is empty except for him. Styles and Derek are sitting on the floor not far away, devouring a plate of bacon and eggs.
"Smells good," Peter says. "What time is it?"
"About 8 a.m., Styles says, and Peter makes a face.
"I know, too early, but I was starved. You can sleep longer if you want."
"No, I'm all right."
Peter thinks about sitting up again, then decides not to risk it.
"I'm not sure I should try eating, though."
Styles grimaces.
"In theory, it would be okay. I mean, the bullet punctured your lung and did some minor damage to your arteries, but everything else should be intact. But if your chest hurts a lot, maybe give it a day or so before you try anything. I'll get you a protein shake or something."
"Blech,"
Peter says. He pats the side of the bed and says, "Come tell me what happened after I passed out." Styles nods and sits down. He tells Peter about confronting Kate in the woods, about killing her, about Gerard's arrival when he was at his most vulnerable. He tells him about Jordan and the police, and how Chris had told him about Denise Lamond's murder.
"I guess they haven't actually exhumed the body yet," he adds. "But Jordan said they had enough to charge him, and they're doing that today,
to check the teeth and DNA and stuff."
"Okay."
It's not the outcome that Peter had expected, but he decides he can live with it. In the long term, Gerard being arrested and jailed for the death of an innocent woman will only help them with the rest of the hunters.
"How long am I going to be laid up?"
"A couple weeks, probably,"
Styles says, and sees the look on Peter's face.
I'm really sorry. I thought..." "What in God's name are you apologizing for?"
Peter asks, arching his eyebrows.
Kate's the one who shot me, not you, and you can't be blamed for thinking I was safe behind the shielding spell. I thought I was too. Am I thrilled about being an invalid for the next few weeks? No, but it's hardly your fault.
Yeah, I guess. Styles lets out a breath. I'm probably a little fucked up right now, after what happened. So just don't make a big deal out of it.
I would never. Peter reaches out and tousles his hair. A moment later, there's a knock on the door, and Laura pokes her head in.
Someone's here to see you,
she says, and opens the door the rest of the way, revealing Chris Argent. Styles scowls at him reflexively, even though he knows that none of this is really his fault. Plus, he had saved Peter's life when it had come down to the wire, so there's that. Even so, he can't help but ask, what are you doing here?
I brought something for Peter, Chris says, and hands over a sheet of paper. Thought you might want a copy.
Peter looks over it, and his lips twitch into a smile.
A death certificate?
Peter pulls up a chair and sits down.
Turns out, faking someone's death is a lot easier if they haven't killed three police officers first, he says. Generous bribe to the medical examiner and a doctor of your choice, and voila! No need to fake a body when the person in question hadn't already been transported to the hospital.
Are the other hunters gonna buy that? Styles asks warily.
I think so, Chris says. I mean, Kate shot him in the heart with a wolfsbane bullet. I saw it with my own two eyes. Plus, she was taking video.
Gross, Styles says.
Agreed. But I can cut the video before we start digging the bullet out and post it to the forum. Then they won't have any reason to look for him.
What about me?
Styles asks. You're going to channel your murderous impulses into helping Scott and Allison police the hunter community. I'll vouch for you, so hopefully nobody will come after you. I can't make any promises, but you can read all about it on the forum yourself, I'm sure.
Styles looks innocently at the ceiling. What makes you think I have access to your forum?
Chris rolls his eyes and doesn't dignify that with an answer. It'll only work if you're actually willing to do it, you know.
Yeah, I know, Styles says, and lets out a breath. But yeah, I am. It's not that I ever liked killing, you know. I just thought it had to be done. Maybe it won't be necessary anymore. I don't know, but I'm at least willing to give it a try.
Okay. Chris stands up, then looks at Peter. What about you?
What about me? Peter counters.
Chris sighs. I didn't mean for you to get hurt like this.
Obviously, Peter says, rolling his eyes. You gave us the chance to kill Kate, and you did save my life, so we can call it water under the bridge.
Chris lets out a slow breath, looking more relieved than he probably wants to admit. Okay, good.
You do owe me, though, Peter adds, smirking. I expect you to take me out for a drink once I'm back on my feet.
I'm married, Peter, Chris points out.
I won't tell your wife if you don't, Peter says.
Chris gives a disgusted huff and heads out the door without another word. Styles waits until he's gone to choke back a laugh.
You're such a troll, he says to Peter. Guilty as charged, though it's not entirely trolling. If I remember Victoria correctly, he'll be divorced by the end of the month if he actually takes up this new crusade. Lucky for him, he'll have me to comfort him in his time of need.
You know, the fact that you're actively trying to bone the guy who tased you less than 24 hours ago means there's probably something very wrong with you, Styles says cheerfully. And the fact that I can 100% understand the attractiveness of someone badass enough to get the better of us means there's probably something very wrong with me.
Well, at least we never claim to be well-adjusted, Peter says.
Styles gives a snort.
That's a fact, he says.
He falls silent for a minute before finally asking,
what do you think about his plan to set up a hunter justice system?
I think we'll probably have to kill a few more before they get the message, to be honest, Peter says. But that might just be the cynic in me talking. We'll have to wait and see how it goes when the first few are arrested. But I know there were several more on our list that we had already identified, so we'll have the answer sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Seeing that Stiles looks like he's settling in for a long brooding session, Peter says, "Well, you don't need to stay here and keep me company. I'll probably sleep for the rest of the day anyway. You two should go out and have some fun somewhere."
"Are you sure?"
Stiles asks, clearly torn.
"I'm sure," Peter says.
Derek folds his hand into Stiles. "Come on, let's go over to Fort Bragg. I'll take you to Glass Beach, if you've never been."
"Okay,"
Stiles says, squeezing Derek's hand.
"I'll see you later, Dad."
Topic: Peter Hale dead, Gerard Argent arrested. Posted 2 hours ago by Blue Nordic Monkshood.
CA here. A lot has happened in the past few days, and I finally have time to post this. First thing first, my sister Kate was not killed by the police 10 years ago. The forum user New Chasson, who revealed the obituary killer's identity, was Kate. Apparently, my father paid a doctor to write a death certificate for her and smuggle her out of the hospital. And he got her out of the country and into South America. The woman who was buried in my sister's grave was a woman named Denise Lamond, an unrelated, innocent bystander who had the misfortune of looking enough like Kate that my father killed her to use as a body double. I was not aware Kate had survived, and only found that out a week ago. When Kate heard about the obituary killer, she immediately figured out who it was, having followed some of the news articles about Beacon Hills after leaving the country. To anyone in Beacon Hills who knew Peter and witnessed the media frenzy when Premislav Stalinsky disappeared, it wasn't exactly difficult. In the spirit of full honesty, I'll confess that I figured this out many years ago. However, my attempts to track Peter Hale's real identity were unsuccessful, so I kept the information to myself, so nobody would target Laura and Derek Hale. They were my sister's victims, and I did not want to be responsible for causing them further pain. As long as Hale and Stalinsky kept their killing to those among us who had harmed innocents, I decided not to say anything. I'm fully aware that a lot of you are pissed as hell right now, but to be honest, I don't really care. If knowing who the killers were would have helped catch them, I would have said something. But it wouldn't have. Until they realized Kate was alive, I truly believe there would have been no stopping them. Back to the issue at hand. When Kate posted their identities, as I expected, several hunters came to Beacon Hills to try to abduct Laura and Derek to use as leverage. Hale and Stalinsky came back to protect them, which I mentioned to my father, and naturally Kate came to finish the job. She half succeeded. She shot Peter in the heart with a wolfsbane bullet. I was there and saw it happen. If you aren't willing to take my word for it, she was taking video at the time, and I've posted that here. After Peter was killed, Premislav Stalinsky killed Kate. On the same night, my father was arrested for the murder of Denise Lamond. Apparently, Peter mentioned it to Laura, who reported it to the police. This is now confirmed. The body has been exhumed and identified via a surgical pin in Ms. Lamond's leg from a previous car accident. The police were able to link Gerard to the crime with his cell phone GPS data. He will be going to jail, most likely for the rest of his life, unless something very unexpected happens at his trial. I've spoken extensively to Premislav in the past few days. I believe his heart was in the right place, and if he'd led a different life, he would have been a great hunter. He believes strongly in protecting innocents, which is the reason I, and I certainly hope most of you, became hunters to begin with. Although he was manipulated and misled by Peter Hale on a number of points, it's undeniable that we have been far too lax in policing our brotherhood. I had no idea what Kate was capable of, but I'm willing to bet a fair number of other hunters did. Similarly, other forum users' posts have demonstrated that they were well aware of the sort of atrocities Belle McManus and many others had committed. We have to do better. Our job is to keep people safe from monsters, and not all monsters have fangs and fur. Premislav Stalinsky was a victim twice over, once of Kate's and once of Peter Hale's. I believe it would be wrong to harm him, and now that he's been freed of Hale's influence, he is no danger to us. I'm willing to be held personally responsible for his conduct, and if he continues his killing spree, I will put him down myself. But I don't believe that will happen, as long as we keep our own in line. And we do need to do that. My daughter and I are going to monitor the behavior of other hunters to ensure that innocents are not being harmed. It will be an enormous task, and anyone who wants to volunteer to help would be much appreciated. I can already hear your objections. It's an invasion of privacy. I'm favoring non-humans over my own brothers. I would like to remind you that Howard Bell raped children, and some of you looked the other way. That Chuck Gonzalez placed a bomb under a front porch that killed a toddler, and some of you looked the other way. That Sam Stearns killed two human bystanders with wolfbane because it was easier to poison a werewolf couple when they had guests, and I looked the other way. None of us is blameless in this. Details on how we're going to accomplish this will be forthcoming once my daughter and I have worked out a system. We will be transparent with you about what we are and are not monitoring. I'm disabling comments on this post because I don't want it to become a free-for-all. If you have a problem, an objection, etc., contact me directly.
It's so weird to read a post using my real name, Style says, wrinkling his nose slightly. I mean, just, ugh. Although, actually, it kind of helps, because it feels like he's talking about somebody else. You know, this mythical Premislav Stalinsky, who he's talked with extensively and could have been a great hunter. Derek gives a snort and shakes his head.
He did lay it on pretty thick, but I guess that was necessary.
Yeah,
Styles groans and shuts his laptop.
I'm glad he disabled comments. Otherwise, I'd be sitting here refreshing the page all day. Want to go out?
Actually, Derek glances down at his phone. Yeah, I've got a surprise for you. Styles gives him a sideways glance.
A good surprise? I'll remind you that I have a pretty strong instinct to punch people if they startle me.
I think it's a good surprise, Derek says. And it's not the sort of surprise that will result in anyone getting punched.
Well, okay.
Styles pulls his shoes on and follows Derek out of the house. They get into the Camaro and drive to the sheriff's station. Styles gives the building a wary look.
This isn't some weird ploy to reunite me with people I knew as a kid, right? Because I don't think I'm emotionally prepared for that. Plus, I'm not sure any of the people I knew as a kid are still here.
Derek is shaking his head. No, but there are people here I want you to meet. But they're people you've never met before. Styles frowns at him, but then says okay and gets out of the car. Jordan had told him that he's officially no longer a missing person and able to use his real identity if he wants. The urge not to is still strong. He thinks he'll be using a fake for quite a while. But he's an adult now and Peter is dead. There's no reason he can't go back to being Styles Stalinsky.
Hey, come on in, Jordan greets them as they come through the door. This whole thing with Kate still being alive turned into a goddamn media circus.
Please tell me I'm not here to talk to a reporter,
Styles says.
Come on, Styles, Derek says. Do you think I don't know you at all?
Styles wrinkles his nose at him, and Jordan continues.
So, obviously, people want to know how I knew the truth about it and why we exhumed her grave, etc. Long story short, I told a semi-version of the truth. People online had been discussing this strange case of the disappearance of Premislav Stalinsky on one of those true crime forums, and somebody had mentioned a detail that only somebody who had been there at the time of the deputy's murder would have known. You read it and realized Kate was still alive and figured out how her father must have killed a woman to use as a body double. By the way, Peter did mention that although he's the one who figured out Kate was alive, you were the one who found Denise Lamont's identity.
Yeah, that's true, Style says. I mean, it wasn't a big deal, just going through missing persons cases from the surrounding area until I found one that matched.
Well, it might not have been a big deal to you,
but it was a big deal to some other people, Jordan says, and gestures for Stiles to follow him. Frowning, Stiles does so, as they go into one of the offices. A man about Peter's age is sitting there, with two boys who look to be in their early teens. Stiles, this is Brett Lamond, and his sons, Phil and Jake. Guys, this is Stiles Delinsky. Stiles stops dead, his mouth slightly ajar. Brett Lamond stands up and extends a hand with a friendly smile. Hey, sorry to ambush you like this, but we asked Deputy Parrish if he could set something up. We really wanted to meet you so we could thank you. Oh, well, Stiles' voice trails off, and he says lamely, thanks? I mean, you're welcome? Shit, I kind of solved it by accident, you know? I was just looking for Kate. No, really, Brett says. I mean, you didn't have to know who was in the grave, just that it wasn't her. And they wouldn't have ever known Kate wasn't dead if you hadn't figured that out, so... Look, it meant a lot to us. We kind of... We knew she was dead, the older teenager says, when Brett's voice faltered. People used to say shit about how maybe she ran off with another guy or something, but she never would have left us, you know? Yeah, Stiles says, his eyes stinging with tears as he thinks of his own mother. Yeah, I know. So just finally having an answer, being able to bring her home and bury her with the rest of her family, it means the world to us, Phil continues. We wanted to thank you for that. You're welcome, Stiles says, snuffling a little. Wanna go grab a bite to eat? Brett asks. Yeah, that sounds good, Stiles says. I know a good pizza place, Derek says. You can follow us. He puts an arm around Stiles' waist and guides him towards the door. Once they're back in the Camaro and on the way to the best pizza joint in town, he says, I know you never met any of the people that you'd helped before. I thought you might want to. Was it a good surprise? Yeah, Stiles says. Yeah, it was a really good surprise. Thanks, Derek. It's 3 days before Peter can even get out of bed, and he knows he's going to have to take it easy for far longer than that. But he manages to hobble down the stairs to find the pack gathered in the rec room, and sits down with them for a while. Laura isn't there, and Boyd says she's at work, and was going shopping afterwards. Peter reminds himself that Laura was perfectly safe for years before he got here, and, in theory, she's perfectly safe now. It's difficult not to go look for her. So you're staying, huh? Erica asks as they sit down for dinner that evening. Mm-hmm, Peter says. Stiles too? Isaac asks, then looks around. Where is Stiles? And Derek? Or is that a question better not asked? They went out to dinner with some guys Derek knows, I think, Lydia says. He texted earlier saying to go ahead and eat without him. Peter smiles a little, glad to hear that Stiles and Derek are having fun. He glances up as the front door opens and Laura comes in. As it had before, the scent of her, the barely audible second heartbeat, makes tears sting at his eyes. But he manages not to show it, as Laura greets the pack, then says she's going to take her things upstairs. Let us help, Boyd says, and when Peter stands up, he adds, Not you. You're still recuperating, remember? I suppose. Peter sinks back into his chair and tries not to sulk. Erica giggles, and he responds as only a mature adult can, throwing a piece of carrot at her. Laura just rolls her eyes and heads up the stairs, with Isaac and Boyd grabbing the bags she had been carrying. Even so, he has to admit that they're correct. Just the act of coming downstairs and eating dinner has exhausted him. After they've eaten, he says, I think I'll go lie down. Laura, I can't commandeer your room forever. Is there a spare room or a sofa? In a manner of speaking, Laura says, feel up to some stairs? Peter eyes her suspiciously, but nods. They head up to the second floor, but instead of going into Laura's room, she pulls down a trap door in the hallway, with steps that lead up to the attic. He follows her, resisting the urge to make a joke about her locking him away with the other unwanted things. But once he gets into the room, he stops dead. Laura has been busy in the last few days. The little attic room has a bed and a bureau, a desk and a comfortable-looking chair. Peter's laptop is already there. They must have gotten it from Styles. Drapes have been put up to hide the bare walls and unfinished wood. Shelving along one wall has been stacked with books of every variety. There's even a framed picture on the desk of the Hale family from before the fire.
Figured you'd want the attic, because that way you can come and go from the roof without disturbing anybody else, Laura says, and gestures to a small window on one end. I remember that you used to sit on the roof at night to keep watch, whenever Mom was worried about something.
Yes, Peter replies. That's good, being able to see everything at once.
Laura studies him for a moment before saying, Why are you so surprised?
I didn't think you wanted me here, Peter replies. I didn't blame you. You had every right to be angry with me. I knew I would stay, that I would protect you, but this... You're making me part of your pack, after everything I did.
Laura sighs and sits on the desk, letting her legs dangle. Look, I'm still pissed at you for taking off, but I thought about what you said, about how you were grieving, and I know that I can never understand what losing Olivia was like for you, let alone losing the baby. Jordan and I talked about it, and he said that if I was killed, he'd go off his fucking head. I can understand why you saw Sun and Styles. Yeah, I was angry that you left us, but I wasn't furious until you started telling me I'd fuck Derek up. But you weren't totally wrong about that. I did my best, but he has been a lot happier since he started going to visit you guys. I think a part of me was just really upset that you guys had helped him so much, when I resented you so much for leaving me. She shakes her head and wipes her eyes. We both fucked up, but we both are fucked up, so I just want to be a family again, okay?
Peter nods.
Okay. Thank you for the room. It's perfect.
You're welcome. Laura manages a watery smile.
Styles is gonna stay, isn't he? Derek won't say it, but it'll break his heart if he leaves.
I think he will. He was awfully shaken up by what happened. But I know that he wants to stay. I'm just worried he'll think that he can't, or shouldn't. Not because he killed Kate. That doesn't bother him. But that he'll put the others in danger if he's here. Or he'll get some stupid idea in his head about how he'll ruin his relationship with Derek if they actually try to have one.
Laura rolls her eyes.
Derek might have to use his words for once, she says, and Peter gives a quiet snort.
By the way, I haven't said it before, but you have a great pack, Peter says. You've done very well, you know, considering everything that was working against you.
Yeah? Laura says, smiling.
Yeah. Would I lie, niece?
Like a rug, Laura says. And they both laugh. It makes Peter's chest ache, and he tries to hide the wince. But Laura sees it.
You ought to lie down and get some rest, okay?
I suppose if you insist, Peter says. I'm your alpha now. I get to boss you around.
Peter gives another snort.
Whatever you say.
It's nearly midnight when Derek and Styles get back to the den. They say hello to Laura and hear about Peter's reaction to his new room. Styles had helped them with that, pointing out that what it really needed was books. Lots and lots of books. He's glad to hear that Peter had liked it. Derek gives his sister a goodnight hug and they start up the stairs.
Are there any spare rooms here? Styles asks after Derek has shut the door behind him.
Derek shakes his head. It's a big house, but not that big. Laura's got the master suite. I've got this one. Then Boyd and Erica share. Jackson and Lydia share. Isaac has one. There's one more, but Laura's been making it into a nursery. Why?
I was just thinking about where I'm gonna stay.
Styles tugs nervously at the hem of his shirt.
I wasn't sure if you wanted to share or not. Or if you were even going to live here. I mean, you have the loft apartment.
Yeah, and I want to keep it, Derek says. It'll be good to have a place to go, where I can get away from the others when they annoy me. I've been sleeping here most nights for the past few months.
He leans over and gives Stiles a soft kiss on the mouth.
I'm fine sharing my room with you, he says,
and then sees the uncertainty on Stiles' face and amends.
I want to share my room with you.
Are you sure? I mean, it's just, it's a lot, Stiles says, the words tumbling out. I know that we've spent a lot of time together over the past 6 months or so, but I'm not sure a week here and there is the basis for moving in together. And we both said we didn't want a relationship, and now I sort of feel like I'm pressuring you. But I don't want you to think I don't want a relationship, even though that's what I said when we first met, because I do. But I don't want you to think that you're supposed to want a relationship, unless you do, in which case I've confused myself. I'm doing that thing again, aren't I? I need to shut up. Derek bites back a grin.
I like it when you do that thing.
Stiles makes a face at him. This is serious!
I know, and I'm being serious about it. I want you to stay here. Maybe it'll be awkward at first, but...
Derek's cheeks flush slightly pink, and he ducks his head.
I like you, and I want you to be the first thing I see when I wake up in the morning.
Stiles blushes, too. Oh, wow, that's sappy! Not that I didn't like it, because I did. I just don't know what to say in response to it, because I want to say something equally sappy, but I can't think of anything. Ditto. Can I get away with saying ditto?
Derek gives a snort of laughter. Sure.
Great. Awesome. Ditto.
Derek leans in for another kiss. How about we go shopping tomorrow? Buy you some things. I know that you and Peter traveled light, and everything you own can fit inside a backpack. You need more clothes, and there's probably some other stuff you want to...
Oh, yeah! Stiles perks up. I've always wanted one of those little hot plates that keeps your coffee warm while you work. And more mugs. Do you guys have a waffle maker? If not, we should get one. Because I know you love waffles, and I'm going to make you waffles. Plus fluffy towels, because towels at that hotel were awful. I saw a shower curtain on the internet once that had a sloth riding a T-Rex, and I really want it. And a loofah. I'm not exactly sure what a loofah is for, but I love saying the word out loud. Loofah!
We can get you a dozen loofahs,
Derek says, trying not to laugh. Awesome! Stiles beams at him. Oh my god, we need flavored lube. And fluffy handcuffs. There are so many things I want to try. Do you think they sell that stuff at Target?
No, Stiles. I don't think they sell furry handcuffs at Target.
Derek considers.
Flavored lube, maybe. For tonight, I guess we're stuck with the plain stuff.
I'm sure we'll soldier on bravely, Stiles says. Now, take off your clothes.